our brains are creating the stimulation of our reality. So the very things that we believe are possible for us will be possible for us. And if we believe something is impossible for us, it won't be possible for us.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. So I wanted to share another manifestation story come through to you and really detail the importance of doing the neural reprogramming work alongside taking inspired action. So a good friend of mine was calling in a negotiation deal for his business, and he had all of these bullet points of things that he wanted through this deal. One of his biggest challenges that he's come across in going through inner child work and shadow work is that when he states his needs, it's not safe. It's met with anger, resistance, elevated emotions, and he has to forego his needs and emotions and feelings in order to make other people safe. Kind of tapping into the perfectionism and people-pleasing that we talked about a couple episodes ago. So as he was calling in this negotiation, he was doing deep imaginings and journal prompts daily to really visualize himself stating his needs in this deal, seeing it come through, and really getting to the root of how do I reprogram that when I state my needs, I am safe. And he initially was met with a test where they came back to him and weren't going to honor his needs. And they were basically doing the opposite of everything that he wanted on his list. But instead of responding by going through with it anyways, or not sticking up for himself, or stating what he really wanted out of the negotiation, he took a moment of pause. He went into the shadow reinforcing deep imagining and really visualized what would it feel like for me to state that I want something different and not appease someone and be okay with whatever the outcome is. And he felt he got a really big healing from this deep imagining, but he didn't feel completely unblocked. He didn't 100% see to believe that it was possible if he states his needs that he wouldn't be met with resistance. So, as the universe has it, he was tested. And a friend reached out about an event that he would have to travel to, and he needed to decline. So he was able to test, can I state my needs and still feel safe? And he stated his needs in a calm, graceful way to this person, and it was received so well. The person was totally fine with it. It was completely in the clear. And now, after taking that dedicated action, he was able to see to believe, wow, it is possible for me to state my needs and not be met with an intense reaction. So the next day, they followed back up on the deal memo, and he said to them in a very calm and authentic and graceful space what his needs were and why they were important to him for this deal. And they came back and met all the requirements he wanted on this deal. I love this story so much because not only was this person really doing the neural work to implant a new belief through the hypnosis and deep imagining process, but they also took dedicated action through examples in real life of it being safe. Oftentimes, Dr. Tara and Lacey talk about, you know, look back at past times where you've stated your needs and they've been safe. And that's super helpful. But another way that you can really see that you can state your needs and be safe or fill that in with the opposite of whatever your limiting belief is to go out and see that happening in real time. Luckily, the person was tested in this situation, but they could have also stated their needs at a coffee shop, stated their needs with a friend about dinner plans. You have to look for the opportunities to reinforce this new belief system. So after all of that dedicated action, this manifestation in full was able to come through. I hope this story was helpful and inspires you to do your neural reprogramming work alongside that dedicated action. Today we have a really fun episode. Lacey, a few months back, was on Sahara Rose's podcast, The Highest Self Podcast, and the episode was so enthralling, and there were so many insights and takeaway, and really just felt like such a good refresher back into the neural manifestation process that we decided to do a re-air on Expanded. We've done this a couple times in the past, and it has been really highly received. So we're excited to do another one with you guys today. Sahara is a best-selling author and Ayurveda practitioner who really brings Ayurveda to the modern world and updates the principles and philosophies to be so useful and helpful to everyone. Sahara and Lacey have been friends for a long time. And in fact, she's actually one of our very first podcast episodes on Expanded. You can check out her earlier episode in the show notes below. But I know you guys will love this episode. They really get back to the roots of neural manifestation. And it's such a good refresher to hear the TBM work and the understanding of manifestation process through Sahara's eyes, and to hear Lacey retell some teachings in there as well. I know you guys will get a lot out of this one, and I hope you enjoy. Lacey Phillips, she is a manifestation expert, but unlike any other, because she really goes into neuroscience. She looks at why are we not manifesting the things that we want and how it has to do with our deeper subconscious state. And I love this so much because it really merges science and psychology with spirituality. And I feel like so many of us, we believe that they're juxtaposed, that you could either be scientific or spiritual, but they really are one and the same. And I love the work of Deepak Chopra, of course, who really goes into science and spirituality, as well as Dr. Joe Dispenza. These are really great people with incredible books and resources if you're interested in going deeper into this. And Lacey really echoes a lot of the same understandings that especially Joe Dispenza speak about, that our brains are creating the stimulation of our reality. So the very things that we believe are possible for us will be possible for us. And if we believe something is impossible for us, it won't be possible for us. In this conversation, we really dive deep into what manifestation is and her concept of neural manifestation, which goes beyond the way that manifestation is taught and blends it with neuroscience and psychology. So the first question I have for you is, what makes you your highest self?
Ooh, alone time. It's that simple for me. Just the way that I'm created and my constitution in general, there's nothing for me like being entirely alone, even if it's for an hour. I can reconnect and really tap into that highest self. So it's not like all the adaptogens and the things and the whatevers, all of that's beautiful support. But for me, the foundational core is alone time, oneness, like getting back to self.
Do you think it's part of your human design, like being a projector, or just a way you were raised?
I think it has to do with all of the systems, like even Aquarius, Sun, you know, a lot of my chart is actually very aloneness, from the Aries to the Scorpios and stuff like that, or Human Design, or even I went to see this amazing facialist that Krista works with. I won't even drop her name because she has a 5-year wait list and literally like cannot take one other person, but she reads faces and it's based on like the old traditional like TCM version of reading. And she was like, you're a triple metal. Like even being pregnant right now, she's like, it's going to be so vital for you that you have on your property in Topanga, that you have another structure that's your office, that you can literally like leave the baby in the house with your partner, or if you have a caretaker, and literally go seek that alone time. And I'm like, well, you're getting this correct so far. So I think all of the systems reflect that for me.
I love that. And it's so amazing because the more we learn about these different systems that, you know, we'll talk about how it could be overwhelming, and it puts together different pieces of the puzzle of like, hey, I'm seeing these two things are telling me the same thing. And then, you know, deeper to that, your own intuition is guiding you to feel.
Love it. To feel. Agreed. 100%. My theory with them, because even with what I teach, a big part of it is, you know, if you're going to work with future projectors, like psychics, take everything with a grain of salt, right? Because we really do create our own reality, and those can create blocks. You know, I have a great example of a Sikh man who walked up to me on the street when I think I was maybe 21, and he read my palm, and it was for free. It was, you know, like kind of not snake oil, but he just grabbed my palm and was looking for money after. And he was pretty accurate about a lot of things. He was like, this is how many siblings you have. Your mom had this miscarriage. Like it was very accurate. But in it, he went, you'll always be poor your whole life. And I went, oh my God, which was my biggest core wound. And I was like, holy shit. And that's obviously absolutely not true whatsoever. And so that's where I always say with systems, with everything, with future projectors, it's really important to, you know, keep what resonates, let it guide you, but really let it go. You know, even in our community, we have this whole thing because a Human Design woman that we work with often really talked about specific or non-specific manifesting. You can see that in your chart. But it's actually interesting. We ran a whole thing on it with our community, and it actually didn't make that big of a difference when we looked at the non-specifics who cast their list, as long as they're getting down to the true core essence of why they want what they want. So not from ego, like really rooting it down to the very, very core. So say I'm calling in, here's a great example that I give, and it's honestly very superficial in a way, but I think a lot of people can grasp it. One woman who's now our TBM coach, when I first started working with her, she was calling in a British guy with red hair. You know, that's very specific. And so I'm like, cool, if you're calling in that partnership, but why? Like, let's do the work on that. And when she really did the work and dug down, she's like, whoa, I have this imprintation that British guys with red hair have a great sense of humor. I'm like, bam, that's the core essence of what you're asking for in that person. So when you get down to that core essence, and you also get down to the feeling that you're wanting to create, for the non-specifics, that's enough. And that's actually very specific. So it's like a girl that used to be on our team, her name's Lila. She actually creates lists like that are very specific based on those core wants and how it feels, and it works great for them. So that's another really good example of like, don't let systems or things you take in or whatever really imprint the way that you're functioning. Let your intuition be your main compass and let those just be supportive. That's how I look at all of that.
You know, you read my mind, because today that's exactly what I was thinking about. Like in my Human Design, mine is facing the non-specific. So I'm like, should I not do the list? Should I not, you know, vision board, or should I just kind of surrender and let it happen? Mm-hmm. But then the question is like, well, then how does the universe know what you want? But then the other question is like, well, shouldn't the universe know it created me? So like,
you're just an extension of the universe. Exactly. That's it.
So what is your thought on how specific to get, and how much should we surrender to the divine plan?
You know, it's really interesting. So when I look at Lila's journey, which is really great, there would be times where, for instance, she would think, and something this small, very small and subtle and material, she would think, oh, I'm really, really wanting a blue, you know, like down coat for the holidays. And then out of nowhere, I would gift her one. Like it would be something that I was just clearing out my closet. So she was specific in that sense. And even there was a point where I was talking to Jenna and Dara, and, you know, Jenna teaches on the non-specific or specifics. And she gave the example that when it came time to move from London, she just threw out to the universe. She's like, I just want it to be warm. I want there to be a beach. You choose. So it's like, I think, again, getting down to the core essence, why do you want the warmth, you know, in the beach? Like, what's down there? And maybe her constitution just, it really thrives in the sun and the warmth, and that makes her her highest self. So that, and how it feels when she's there, you know, it's like cozy and I'm healthy and I'm balanced. So that's really the way that I approach if you're a non-specific, and our community does, and they have tremendous results with it. And getting to the vision board aspect, I'm a really big list creator just from a psychology neuroscience place, which we have a lot of podcast episodes on with our psychiatrist, neuroscientist advisor that's on our team. And basically, she's actually a proponent of vision boards. She calls them something else. I forget what she calls them. What I started to learn very early on is that for me, vision boards could be a little confusing when communicating to the universe, because it's really great to have them when you're calling in multiples. So an example of that is an exact car. So if you're calling in like this type, this model of car that's silver and it's an Audi and it's a hatchback or whatever, there are multiples of those. But for your brain, like, you know, the first processor of your brain is your eye, your retina is going through and communicating to your brain. If you're cutting out pictures of two people holding hands on a beach that doesn't resemble you, your self-worth isn't in alignment with it, meaning that your subconscious brain doesn't even believe that's possible on a vision board, it's a lot less effective than if you're going through and creating your list in the way that we teach you to do it and getting down to, again, the core needs, wants, how does it feel? That can be much more specific and identifying to your retina, to your brain, to go, oh, that's what I want. It's not technically that picture. So if you're a vision boarder, great. Super awesome for multiples. And the more you manifest, and especially through this process, you stop really casting lists at a certain point because you become conscious of what you want. You cast it. Your subconscious worth is already high enough for it. You have space for it from expansion. So you tend to connect with it very easily. So for me, I often don't even make lists anymore. But in the beginning, when you have that low self-worth, and we'll get into all of that stuff, it's actually really good to do the work to get down to the root of what you want, rather than some people will come to manifestation and be like, I want all the things that fill my core wounds from the outside in, like a yacht or the house in Malibu, or I'm being so superficial with that. But a lot of people will ask for these things that are egoic. And I'm actually a really big proponent. I don't think that wanting material things, because we are material beings in the material plane, it's actually fine to want whatever we want. It's just if we're getting down to the core, authentic, whole-worthy place that's asking for it, and then doing the work to unload all the programming and conditioning that's asking for us to want those things that maybe are just going to please our parents, society, all the programming we've received that if we get those, we'll be loved.
So well said. Thank you so much for that. And I think that a lot of times when we're manifesting, we want, you know, I want a bigger home, or I want this achievement or recognition or something like that. And there is a tie to the ego. You know, we're egoic beings. We're always going to want what's best for the self. If you don't have an ego, you're not going to live on this planet.
No.
But then how can we then take the ego out? Like, let's say I want to make my book a bestseller. That's genuinely something that I want. But then I'm like, well, is it egotistical? And then I'm like, well, it's really about the message, but I can't lie. There's an element of my ego that wants that acknowledgement for my work. So how would you go about doing something that there is some egoic want in it as well, and it's, you know, what you believe is best for the whole?
Yeah, great question. So at the very foundation of everything I teach, what I started to learn, and I'll give people a little backstory on me just to have, you know, if you're tuning in for the first time and don't know about me, but I come from what I call like the old school rhetoric manifestation, which is usually spiritual bypass. And what that looks like, and it's not to offend anybody because I did these things for years, I practiced them, but it's like The Secret and the Hicks books and all that stuff. And there's a lot of magic in that after you do the deep diving. That's where like law of attraction and all of that gets very magical, when you've actually looked at all the things that are blocking you, then it becomes very easy to work in that plane. So getting back to that, I started to notice after practicing that from 17 to 25 that when I would manifest incredibly kismet things, I mean, things down to like a partner with long blonde surfer hair who's a photographer and has a Parisian mom, like crazy stuff, or, you know, like silly at 25 stuff, or this apartment in the Echo Park Hills that had everything I wanted for $350 a month, like crazy things. It never had to do with like thinking positive or visualizing or pretending to be already what I want. It had nothing to do with that. In fact, they started to come through when I stepped into my worth. And what that means is I stopped settling for low self-worth behavior. And what low self-worth comes down to is what we imprinted from 0 to 7, simple psychology of where we watch the modeling of our community or our parents or our peers or media, all of the things we were exposed to, and they were all communicating to us and we were imprinting in our subconscious mind, which is the limbic brain. It means, you know, underneath the brain, we were imprinting places where we had high self-worth and where we had low self-worth. And from that, I started to realize, oh, wow, the universe, whenever it's working with me and for me, which it's always doing, may you be receiving a test or a lesson or what you want, it's always co-creating with you. But it doesn't have to do with wanting me to be happy or positive. It was doing everything it was doing in order to get me back to my whole authentic, worthy self I came into the planet as at birth. And I think we all come, even if we're believing in past lives, which I do, you know, and going through past lives, life experiences, the moment we're born, we're this whole worthy self. And then from that point on, we start to receive programming from all the things I listed, and may it be pain, shame, anything like that, they can create blocks. So I think the universe's entire intention is to mirror back to us throughout our lives of where we need to unlock to get back to that whole authentic place. Now, with that said, I also really believe that everybody has different karma or dharma on this path. So for me, I really feel, and this is where systems can become validating and fun. So my North Node, for instance, is Taurin. So at this point in my life, I'm very in it and I'm very into like my family and designing my home. But all of that is so truly authentic to my whole worthy self. It's not a validation. So we have a couple of tools that really help you to look at this. So one that you mentioned before we started recording is called your authentic code. And it's something that you do in the like standard how to manifest workshop we make everybody start with. And it's where you find the four pillars of your authenticness. So for instance, mine look like luxury, self-care. Luxury can just mean quality, but luxury, self-care, legacy, which means everything I teach, and then spirituality. So those are the four core things that are the most important in my life. They're the most truthful to my authentic self. And we have this whole series of questions and this hypnosis that you go through to find that. Now I know I have that to filter through. That's my grounding point to always come back to self. So that's a tool that's really great for it. And then everything else we teach is basically how to unlock your subconscious through neuroplasticity and psychology in order to get back to that whole worthy self. And it's so simple to get there because we just have to start watching the things in our life that trigger us. And I like to say those of us who are like recovering positivity people who have done manifestation, who are so afraid to feel anything negative, that they may attract more of that. The biggest thing I want to say to you is feeling your feelings and recognizing when you have those triggers, jealousy, negativity, fear, unworthiness, those are magic. They're like liquid gold. Feel them, embrace them, because you're going to do the work. They're the perfect roadmap to get you down to where does that root block live in my subconscious, that memory I picked it up at, where I basically took the imprintation, I'm not good enough. And then you get to do the work to change it to being worthy and good enough and begin projecting that out to receive what you want. So to me, we have quite a few tools that allow you to really get back into that whole worthy, authentic self and understand if is your dharma in this lifetime to be a bestseller. It may be, it probably is. I mean, you've done a lot of work on your ego. So, and again, like I love the point that you made, an ego is a very important thing to have in this lifetime. It's the human experience. If we didn't have ego, we wouldn't have fear. We wouldn't have any sense of pain. So it means like we would just go around and we would be killed. Like we would walk into front of a car. Like ego actually saves us a lot of the time to have personal safety. So I think it's when you start to learn how to work with the part of you that is your authenticity versus the part of you that's still projecting from low self-worth in order to get outside validation to fill you up of where you didn't have it when you were little.
I love that so much. And, you know, something I always say is your dreams are dreaming you back, which is so in alignment yes. with this. Of the reason why they are your dreams is because there's an element of you that knows that you can embody it. So for example, I am not dreaming about renovating my home in Topanga. That's not in alignment with me, but exactly. It is for you. And you're not craving this best-selling book because right yeah. now your focus isn't even doing that. So it's beautiful because that desire is within you for a reason. And if you're not doing the inner work, that desire could come from a core wounded place. And then you might do that work and it's not there anymore. And you're like, oh, I only really wanted that thing. So do you see sometimes I recognize, you know, I go into whatever trauma created my desire. So for me, like immigrant parents, achievement, like that is also a part
Iranian culture exactly. in general. Like yeah, you're not like, a lawyer or a doctor.
So. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that is how I received love, was to be good at what I do. And I feel like I chose it because it's part of my dharma. So do you sometimes see that sometimes those traumas or triggers actually were part of your plan to help you manifest what it is that you want?
Always, because that they give you experience, right? So like for me, I'm a great example. I was born on a Pluto line. There's another system, right? Astrocartography. I was born on that. I chose my teenage parents. I had four different households that, you know, were caretakers, and the trauma that I received growing up. And again, trauma is a very big spectrum of a word. All it means, you know, is that you've experienced pain or shame. So people have a big spectrum of what trauma can look like, from abuse down to literally being a highly sensitive being who really experiences things in a very sensitive way. So I can look at, I've done so much work now that I can look at everything and be like, oh my God, if I didn't have that with my mom who was unavailable at that time or was drinking, I wouldn't be able to communicate this to the people that have experienced that. So everything we go through in life is so vital. I believe it's so divine. And we have this throughout our workshops. If you're a victim of abuse in any kind, I'm not saying that you were meant to have that, you attracted that, but I am saying that being able to get on the other side of it, to become empowered by it, so healing and addressing and becoming empowered, there will start to be silver linings of how you going through those experiences are basically what show that you're a reflection, this beautiful model and healing to others in order to also go through that. So absolutely. And then another really cool thing to watch when people do this work, because many coming from old manifestation teachings, they just want what they want and they're not actually looking deeper as to why. And you know, when you're not connecting with it, that's probably when you'll find us and then start doing this and looking at the whys, you know, and there could be many reasons. You could be unblocked, you don't have space for it, or it could be out of this place of trying to have exterior validation, basically feed a wound inside of you. And so people will come in, they'll start this work, and then all of a sudden, 3 months later, they'll be like, whoa, everything I wanted, I don't want anymore. Like it's a completely different trajectory. I'm like a different person. I'm really touching in with my authentic self. And now, and I don't say that to scare you, because I think people listening can also go like, oh God, I don't want to become like this monk in the Himalayas. That's not at all the case. People tend to really want to still manifest on the material plane, but they start to want things that are perfect for them. And you know, and it could be an array of things. So it's really cool to watch both of those.
I love that so much. And I think it is so important because, yeah, like oftentimes, I think when we think of manifestation, and I know you were talking on your podcast, but on TikTok, hashtag manifestation is super, super trending. And it's like, how to have this guy text you back? Like how to get a new outfit from Fashion Nova? Like all of these like very surface things that, you know, it could have happened for whatever reason. They're like, oh, look, I manifested. In some ways, I'm like, you know, maybe that's their introduction to it. But then you go deeper and deeper into it. You know, a lot of people listening to this podcast, Abraham Hicks was their introduction, watching the movie The Secret, doing the positive affirmations, doing maybe tapping, different things like that. And I went to an Abraham Hicks like in person and it was
totally.
Great.
I mean, she's channeling. It's amazing.
She's channeling. And there were just so many like kind of, I did a whole podcast on just like all my questions on it. But I think a lot of people, they're like, I'm worthy of abundance. I'm worthy of abundance. And just like saying it, but not feeling it. So can you speak a little bit about your approach to manifestation and the neuroscience, epigenetics, everything that really goes behind just us saying something and not believing it?
Absolutely. And again, I really want to give credit to the Abraham Hicks model. But the thing like that with a lot of spiritual models is that they tend to be an elevated version of self. That's when it works for you. What she's channeling and the information she's getting is correct from Abraham. You know, like it's really valuable. However, Abraham isn't in a physical body that's experienced the physical realm. So it's so different, right? When we come into the human experience and then we've experienced everything we have, no matter who we are. I always would get listeners in the past that would be like, I had the perfect childhood. And then they start doing the unblocking process and they're like, oh, shit.
Like, but my parents were like, we have no trauma. Nothing bad has ever happened to us. I'm like, you literally crossed a border to get here. But it's just like that's yeah, total like, bypass of it.
Totally. And so our nervous system doesn't forget that, right? When that happens, it freezes. And our subconscious brain doesn't forget that because simple psychology, the way that our brain's looping, it's trying to keep us safe. So that subconscious limbic brain, whenever you experience pain of any kind or shame of any kind, you literally freeze for survival. You're like, oh, whatever happened there, I don't want that to happen again because I need to survive, whether it be emotionally, physically, whatever. Now in our society, it's like financially, there's so many ways. So that imprints in our body, it imprints in our brain. It doesn't go anywhere. Whereas Abraham, who isn't in a body and who is like the highest version of consciousness, can drop all these awesome teachings that will help the human race once they get to a place where their nervous system and body is open enough for it. So it's actually really interesting because I'm a highly spiritual person, but a lot of what we teach is very scientific. And why I think that matters, I had this conversation actually with Krista, a common dear friend of ours from almost 30, where I had this thing happen to me. I think it was like a year and a half ago where I'm already a very airy person. I'm a very spiritual person. But I had this moment where I was like, oh no, my job is here on 3D with the masses. Like that's my work. My work is to get people primed to be able to work with that kind of stuff. So that's where getting back
you
to
and like
our
Joe Dispenza, I'm seeing a very similar dharma there.
Totally. And Joe is like,
he's like an alien, but he brings it down. Yeah.
Totally. And he's able to, yeah, like really, really work in the human experience, human plane. So he's in straight up 3D. I'm in straight up 3D. And Krista had a great quote that I love that she put out the other day because this is so vital. You have a lot of these people who are talking about like wanting to go to 5D and 6D and that's where it's at. And all this like now that's the hot topic, right? And she's like, yo, why don't you really master how to ground in 3D? Before you, and it's like, yes, like, yes, absolutely. So like getting back to our core philosophies, what I started to learn after practicing like all of those models, The Secret, all of that stuff, which for me, I don't know if others listening, little things would happen. It was kismet, you know, for sure, but it was never consistent and it was never humongous. And so I was spending all of this time dog paddling to try to stay positive and stay in the vortex, not feel my feelings, like not express what was really going on with me at the time. And I was like a 25-year-old actress in totally low self-worth who grew up with an alcoholic parent, young divorced parents. I mean, I had so much shit to look at that I wasn't looking at because I thought spiritual bypassing, I didn't need to. Therefore, nothing huge was happening. I was continually broke. I was a doormat in dating. I was always at shitty jobs, you know, and I think a lot of people can identify with that. So I started to notice again at 25, whoa, when I said no to the guys who were calling me just to like hang out at night and stuff like that, and I went no more, that's when I started to manifest things I wanted. And I went, wow, this has nothing to do with positivity. This is everything to do with my self-worth. Where does my lack of self-worth come from? And that's what set me on this journey. So like three core philosophies of ours that vary from those are number one, thoughts don't create your reality. your subconscious mind creates your reality. So if you think about it, we are so polarizing in our thoughts all day long. I suck, I'm great, da 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 da. You know, it's all over the place. If we were that powerful, our life would be a shit show. It's actually that imprintation from 0 to 7 that's mostly looping and determining what we manifest. So wherever we imprinted that we have high self-worth. So it's where we saw the reflection back to us that we're great, we're, you know, we had accolades, that we are capable of. Those are the things we manifest very simply in our life, which can again come from parental modeling, things we picked up in media, everything, our community, teachers. That's where we're manifesting easily all the time. The things where we loop on low self-worth, which we call blocks, that's where we have to unblock those in order to connect with manifestation. So that's the very first thing. You don't manifest from your thoughts like you're trained. You manifest from your subconscious mind. It's psychology, neuroscience 101. The second thing is we were always taught we need to visualize. Visualizing's amazing. There's so much research in neuroscience that backs that up. However, a great example of me was when I was actress and waitress at the Laugh Factory on Sunset making $300 a week, I was visualizing my home in Malibu with like a sauna and an infinity pool and all the things that would validate my inner wounds, right? And while doing that, that wasn't coming. So I really started to notice when I was manifesting really big and kismet things, it was never through visualizing. It was when I had exposure to people who I identified with that now had what I wanted and used to be exactly where I was. We call those expanders. So for instance, it could be even in this industry, right? A great example is a dear friend of mine, Ashley Neese. This is such a good example of neuroscience and osmosis. Whenever Ashley would get a piece of press and I would witness, oh, Ashley got that, I can get that too. Bam, they would call me and I would have that press as well. So we call that expansion. So in your subconscious brain, if you've never been exposed to or told that you can have the things you want. So getting back to me as a waitress at the Laugh Factory, manifesting that home in Malibu, I had never known anybody of that wealth who could afford that. I had never seen anyone like myself at my age who could go out and buy that and how they did it. Like my brain had never seen how they actually do it. So I had no expansion around it. So that's a huge second part. After unblocking, you need to find expanders. You need to find the people that you identify with that used to be where you are now, but now have, are successful in, or harness what you want. That's when your brain can see to believe and have the aha moment, like, oh, if they have it, I can have it too. That creates the space. It opens up space for your manifestation to come through.
Do you need to know them in person? Like if you have them in mind, it's just to know they exist.
It's just to really, and again, like you can get them on social media, you can read biographies, watching movies. I actually give this example all the time. When we're watching TV, we're in a hypnotic state, right? Our subconscious mind comes forward and our conscious mind goes backwards. So everything we're taking in while we're just zoned out watching a movie is basically imprinting that that's possible for us, good, bad, whatever. And I have a good example of this. My astrologer, back when she was single for 6 years, she had called me one time and she was like, I can feel Lacey. I'm so close to manifesting my partner. She had been doing all of the work. And she was like, here's the deal. I've been watching this show that I would normally never watch called Sons of Anarchy. And there was a guy in it. I actually have never seen it, so I forget the character's name, who's like a biker and has long hair and has an accent. And she's like, I'm having the most soul reaction to him. Like, it's crazy, Lacey. Are we supposed to be together? I mean, she lived in LA. It's not that crazy that they could meet and be together. And I was like, this happens all the time, Danny. Probably not, maybe, but probably not. But he is your perfect expander. Not only is he showing you what's possible and that it's going to happen, you're, as an expander, you're also, and this is back to one of your original questions, your soul is communicating to you what you want right now. Having that visceral of a reaction, because she had been raised on the Upper East Side. The only men she had ever dated were like her dad, older, powerful, business. And her soul was communicating, no, I want a young, artistic, kind of rougher guy. Like that's what my soul is wanting to experience, my authentic self. One week later, she goes to Rose Cafe in Venice. She's standing in line and a guy walks up to her who looks identical to the guy from the show. He has a Kiwi accent, long hair, asks her out, and now they live together in New Zealand. They've been together for years, but that's a great example of you can find expanders anywhere.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
So what about jealousy in expanders? Because I see that happen a lot of, you know, I'm sure you get messages. I've gotten messages of like, I hated you. I was so triggered by you. I was so jealous of you. And then I realized you were my biggest expander. And I'm like, I don't know what to think right now.
You're like, thanks, Lacey. Where's this coming from?
But I've also felt, you know, like before I had written books, I would read these other spiritual books and it was like, yeah, almost this feeling of like, I could do it better, you know? So how does that, like oftentimes they really trigger you so much?
And we have a great blog post. We'll have to link to this called Envy. You can just Google like to be magnetic and envy. It'll come up. And these are your greatest expanders. And this is awesome because we all feel this, right? It's just simple, like limbic human behavior. Whenever you're having that triggered feeling of envy, and that's what that is, right? Jealousy is we're afraid we're going to lose something we have. So when we're in a partnership and we get jealous that our partner's talking to someone else, we're actually fearing that they'll take that person away from us. So that's jealousy. Envy is when we look at something that somebody has and we want it. That's what that, and so envy is like magic to work with because when you're feeling the trigger of envy, first feel all the feelings because all that's coming up are insecurities that were imprinted from childhood that are coming up of why you're not good enough. Feel those and then harness the energy because what's really going on there is you're witnessing a huge expander. So basically what, and this is like the best clue, you're literally seeing this person in real time who has what you want and you're going, oh, I can have that too. Even if you have all of these other quote unquote negative feelings attached to it, they're literally little clues from your soul that are like, I can have what they have, may it be a relationship, career, whatever the thing is. So you actually want to work with that energy. And in that blog post, we teach you how to journal it out and what to do and how to use that for expanders. So now you can have a breath of fresh air anytime you're like, oh, I'm not an envious bitch. Like, I'm actually just somebody who A, needs to work through the feelings attached to it of why I don't think I'm good enough to have that and be so grateful that I'm witnessing a great expander in front of me. And they really work with your brain when you start to reframe it. Your brain has that aha, I can have this too, and opens up that space for your manifestation. So that's huge.
I love that because we often judge ourselves when we feel that way. So if you are finding someone who is creating this envy in you, but you know it's an expansion, should you continue to consume their content or should you try to back away to find your own authentic code? Because sometimes I see people then regurgitate or show up or try to dress. And I'm 100% sure you've had this of like, Lacey is really living her dharma and is such an expander for me. So I'm going to do exactly what she does and, you know, become obsessed with her because I want to be her.
Yes. Those are the people that usually end up like loving me and then hating me after a while. Yes. I get those all the time because then they get fed up with why it's not working for them. And then they're like, her technique, it's like all, and it's just shadow. But this is actually a really great question. So such a big part of manifestation is it all comes down to authentic whole worthiness. That's all of this work is to get back to that. And what's meant for us will always be meant for us, no matter what. So when we go and we try to replicate what somebody else is doing because we're so inspired by it or whatever, we think that that's what we want. Maybe you'll have a little success, but no matter what this is, dressing, career, dating, I don't care what it is, but it'll never be the magnetism that will create the flow in your life ever, ever. And that's why you'll get resentful and angry and upset and mad at the person, you know, because you'll be like, oh, I'm over that. The key is when you witness this envy and an expander, and that's the work that I teach you inside of that blog post, you're getting down to what about them is expanding you, the core essence. So is it, for instance, like when somebody's seeing you, they're like, is it Sahara's freedom? You know, she has this freedom. Or is it that she's so skilled and she has the system of Ayurveda that's like a modern way to express to the modern community these old ancient teachings? Like there's a system aspect about that. What's my system? What does freedom really mean for me? So it actually has nothing to do with all the things that the person's doing or dressing or the stuff that lights you up about them. It's actually witnessing and getting to the core anchors of what about them are you so inspired by? May it be aspects like I just listed and getting down to what is that for you and running in that direction. So that's a huge key because honestly, you'll hear me talk about in this work a gazillion time authenticity. That is your most magnetic flow you can be in. I always give this analogy. My dad is a roper cowboy. And so when I was little, when he was teaching me how to ride on the horse, because they're so sensitive to energy, he would say, Lacey, melt like butter in your saddle. You need to take control. You need to take your power back in this horse. That exact space of really like sitting in and taking your power back, being in your authenticity, that's magnetism. That is what, when they're telling you, always be in the vortex, that's the vortex. That's literally the vortex. So that's what you're trying to get to, is that authentic, whole, worthy, powerful place that's just like owning it. That's where you're going to get that.
I love that so much. And knowing what it feels like for you, like,
oh, huge.
That like body feeling, because I'm seeing a lot of people are, there's this big movement of now, what does this feel like somatically in my body? How can my body have that experience? So how can we move from then like the thought to the subconscious to the embodiment of it?
I'm actually an interesting case because I know a lot about somatic healing. And in fact, even within our hypnosis process, which I call deep imaginings. And just to give the education around our hypnosis process, it's a little bit different than the traditional. The traditional hypnosis teaches you to just reinforce reinforce the new suggestion. For me, who was dealing with low self-worth, my brain never believed it. It was like, I need to see what's beneath that suggestion to even believe that that's possible. So our process is all about getting to the root and like looking at the root and then from there going to the reinforcement, which I tend to find to be much more effective. But even in our work, we have some somatic bits. So there can be like really feeling into your body, where does it live? So I'm really the person who's dealing with energetics and the mind because that's the key to unlocking manifestation. But I personally don't have a ton of experience in the somatic. I've gone myself to different somatic healings, but I'm not trained in them. But it's a huge piece of the puzzle. I mean, I know somatic unlocks the brain. It's a key in there. So I think, and I tell this to people all the time too. I'm like, if you're doing our work and learning our process and say the hypnosis isn't working for you, I go and do EMDR every week. I do X, Y, and Z. I do sunbathing. Like, do the things that really work that are going to get you to that whole authentic, worthy, unblocked place. Because that's just one piece of this puzzle. Three that have to be in motion simultaneously to manifest is unblocked, which we talked about, unlocking and unblocking, reprogramming those old subconscious beliefs that are literally pushing your manifestation away, expand. For that's what's going to create the space in your subconscious for what you want to come. And the third element is passing tests. So this is something that I never, ever understood when I would do the old manifestation process, which was like the think positive. Nobody ever, ever came up with this. And when I say this, so many listeners are going to be like, that happens to me all the time. So when we start to consciously or unconsciously call in what we're wanting to manifest, it's usually greater than where we are in our self-worth at this moment, because if it weren't, we would be connected with it. So for instance, say we're calling in a new relationship that's very conscious or whatever aspects of it that we want. And personally, we haven't been in those experiences. When we begin to unblock why we haven't been in those experiences, what about us has attracted the experiences we're in, and unlock that in our subconscious. And then we begin to expand, finding people who are in those relationships, even if they're what we call fragment expanders. They only have little aspects. So say this one couple you admire, they're the most of the things that you want on your list in a partner, but they have terrible communication. You're going to go find that communication expansion piece somewhere else. So you've expanded and you're opening up that space. The universe will then begin to test you. And this always happens without fail. And what it's testing you on, it's asking, literally it's confirming, are you sure that you're not willing to settle for what you've settled for in the past? Are you sure you're concrete that your self-worth is in exact alignment with what you're calling in? Because the frequency, for lack of a better word, of the thing you're calling in in that vibration of self-worth. You're doing the work to align with that vibration. There's a little language from Hicks that is easy to digest. So you'll begin to get tests. So say it's relationship, you'll begin to get suitors that come in that seem like kind of your list, but aspects are off. Then it's going to get harder and harder. Once you pass, say you say, this looks like a beautiful, you know, carrot on a string, but I'm going to pass this up. And then all of a sudden your entire list shows up, but they're emotionally unavailable. This is a hard one, especially if you've settled in the past, because you're like, but they have the this and that and all the things I've ever wanted. I'm sure they'll come around and they're going to want to commit at some point. No, they're not. I mean, that's a whole nother episode and conversation. You pass that, then it gets very subtle. So those are the three things that have to be in motion at all times: unblocking, expanding, and passing tests in order to connect with your manifestation. So sometimes we'll get people who are doing the work and they're very studious and they're like doing all the unblocking and they're like, why am I not manifesting my person? I'm like, are you doing the stuff in real life that you need? Are you expanding? If not, you don't have space for your thing to come in. Sure, you're no longer talking to the universe and saying, no, I don't want this, through a blocked space, a blocked loop. And then if you're not passing tests, so you're not doing what you need to pass the test, they're not coming. So all three of those are a beautiful trifecta.
So when you say passing of a test, like, I'm curious for something, let's say you want a new home and the home that you want is like that epic Malibu place, but you're not getting anywhere close to that, but you need to move somewhere. So
yes, like, you were in this predicament.
Right. Like, yeah.
You just were finding what you wanted, but you had to move.
Exactly. So right. How do you know like what aspects to potentially settle on or wait on until more time passes and then you can go for something better?
So when you begin to learn this process, the cool thing is you'll be able to decipher what's showing up in your life. So what elements are missing from that, it's going to be the clues of where you still need work. So for instance, let's say a place in the Palisades is presenting that is maybe a lot smaller. It's not the colors. So say some things are missing in it. For you, you now have the tools, because we have this thing called the daily practice that you can do every day to unlock. It's journaling exercises, it's the hypnosis, and it lets you get to the root of why. And one of them is called tests. So if that thing presents, you get to do the journaling around it and then the hypnosis to get to the answer. Why am I still not receiving the thing I want? And it'll show you very clearly. And then you know what to navigate from there, what work to do. Oh, it's because I need a little bit more expansion. I'm not I've seen to believe that Sarah got that house in the Palisades for these colors and everything, but I've still never seen to believe that it's possible for me to have that in Malibu. And again, I really want to acknowledge these silly, privileged, superficial examples, but I just like to use things that are cerebral, like people can understand them. So that's the beauty of having the tools. And that was something that was really missing for me in manifestation. And I think other people can relate to this. I would be sitting there deeply unconscious when I was doing the old manifestation work. And they would say things like, get into the vortex. And I could listen to 100 Hicks YouTube videos and still be like, but what the fuck does a vortex feel like? What is the vortex? Like, I couldn't grasp it. And so a really important thing to me in creating any of the work we do here is that it's step by step. It's so easy. It's so spelled out. And that you have all the tools you need in order to decode exactly what's going wrong. So there, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain it otherwise, but usually you're always able to be like, oh, that's happening because, and this is another aspect of tests, just as education, if you don't pass a test, and that's why saying pass or fail is tricky, but my gift is reading energetics. And that's the only way to put it into language is like pass a test. The only thing that happens is you receive more tests after, because what you said to the universe was like, no, I don't have all the self-worth. I'm going to go burn my hand on this fire a little bit. Say the emotionally unavailable person who is the whole list. You're like, it's too hard to resist. And what I would tell clients in the past when I still worked with people before we had the coaches, I was like, run into the fire. I want you to get burned so bad and get your heart broken that you never touch that fire again because you become amazing at passing tests. Your threshold of trust becomes tremendous. And even with this year, you know, everything that's gone on with people, I did a very small podcast episode on the energetics of this pandemic. And I was like, this is going to be, in a way, and I say this very liberally because I know a lot of people are affected and have been affected and lost loved ones. But personally, the greatest gift that's going to come from this is it's going to knock you off anything in your life that's not in alignment. May it be a job, may it be relationship, home, whatever. All the places you've been doing exterior validation or you've been stagnant or stuck or whatever and you couldn't get out of it, the universe is showing up for you collectively this year to be like, nah, we're going to knock you into your path of alignment. And when we go through those rock bottoms or run into the fires, what we get from that is extreme durability, a way higher threshold for trust. So meaning when the next test comes along, or say we do something like jump off of a cliff of fear, we leave the job we've been hating forever after having the tools of how to create the next job experience, but we get that courage to leave. And there's a place in the formula of this manifestation called a magic dark, where it's like, we'll get our last big final test. It's where the water recedes, the darkest before the dawn. It's where your savings account runs out. It's about to, and you've said no to all of these test job offers to be like, are you really sure you're not going to settle? And bam, your manifestation comes through. So that's where like running into the fire or going through these rock bottoms, they give us that threshold to like know how to deal in our nervous system, in our body, with how to say no to things in the future that are really shiny or really scary. So that's the beauty of these experiences.
I love that so much. And I think everyone can relate to that feeling of maybe you're about to give up in that moment and you don't. And that's when the big shift happens in relationships, careers, all of it. So these are all so helpful. And I know you have so much in To Be
Magnetic. There's too much to talk about.
So many good things. So last question, you know, we're moving now into 2021. People have had a lot of things that were not in alignment with them, taken away, disrupted, moves, breakups, all of the things. How can we set up this year so we don't have to learn through all of the pain and all the breakdowns? How can we reprogram our brains so we can learn from the path of joy and ease and harmony? Is this even possible?
100%. And the coolest thing is, and I want to say this so that people can take a deep breath, even if you haven't done any of the work I'm talking about, but you've been a human being breathing this year, you've already done some of the work because you've already had to deal with some sort of a loss in some capacity, or you've had to address your fear of control in some capacity. You've had to feel negative feelings in some capacity. So this year, I think, is a tremendous year to shake us out of spiritual bypass, to shake us out of the zombie-like lives that we can live just out of safety or out of societal programming that tells us to be whatever. So the coolest thing is you've actually had a year that's forcing you into your authentic self. So that like already is like a quarter of the work. How exciting. It's been probably shitty. And some people, I just want to make this comment, some people are thriving this year because they have been doing the work and they are flowing and they are in their next level. But majority of us are in some form of what I call rock bottom energetically or a rut. You know, in a rock bottom, the difference is that's when the universe comes and it earthquakes us. And it's like, it takes away the job or the relationship or the thing. And we're just like stuck there. And we have a whole course on how to navigate a rock bottom. And it's so good because it really works. And then there's the rut. And the person in the rut is the person who's not on their aligned authentic path. And they just keep on walking further and further and further away from it. And it feels like they're spinning their wheels. So most people have experienced that this year. And the beauty of half the battle of both of those is getting off of them. And that's what this year has forced in you. So the beautiful thing is it'll still be available in the pathway, which is our membership program to do all of these workshops. It has the whole deal in it, is what we call the magnetism challenge. And what the magnetism challenge did is it walked you through how to manifest, the daily reprogramming exercise, and 3 weeks of unblocking. And those 3 weeks of unblocking, doing our hypnosis work, it also addresses finding expanders, passing tests. And so we created this entire challenge that you can do anytime. We created it in order for you to do all of the work necessary to connect with your manifestation in 2021. Typically, we always do like a reprogramming challenge at the end of the year, but this one is like, no, we're casting our list together. We're finding our authentic code. We're finding our expanders, literally everything you need to do in order to manifest. And so no matter where you are right now, whatever experience you're having, you, and this is another thing I would say at the top of the year, was you can manifest always during a pandemic. So we had this whole hashtag where it was like manifesting in the pandemic. So many people had all of these new jobs, because we wanted to expand. Like, you never have to live in that space of fear. It's possible. So you can always manifest. 2021 can be miraculous. And if you're looking for tools of how to harness, that challenge is fantastic for this. It's fantastic. Like the perfect little roadmap.
I love that. And it's so beautiful when, you know, all spiritual truths are so similar. Like in the Vedas, we would call those different levels of rock bottom the levels of karma. It's like, do you listen to the tap? Do you listen to the smack in the face, or does it need to be a collision? And then you make the U-turn to go back into Kriya to move towards your Dharma. So it's so beautiful to see that they all are just like the same thing. And that's how we know it to be true and can trust it and can do the work and not, you know, second guess it or be skeptical, because you know what you've been doing, the results of that already. So you might as well try something new.
That's how I felt. That was my exact initiation into some deeper work. I was like, cool. So I'm complacent and nothing's changing. Totally. Might as well try something new.
Yes. Exactly. Now I'm thinking, what are my 4 authentic signature things?
Ooh, I know. We have to see.
It feels a little similar to the desire map words.
Oh, I don't know that. No.
It's the Danielle Laporte. She has these like, what are your core desired feelings? I think that's what it's called. But I feel like mine are like creativity, expression, Shakti, which is different than feminine. It's like Shakti.
Like goddess.
Yeah. And then expansion. Did I say that one?
I don't think so. Creativity.
Expansion, just continuing to, like innovate and move forward. So I feel like are these your 4 that stay with you your whole life, or do you change them up? Okay.
And the coolest thing is the more that you upgrade, up level, the more magnetic you become, they tend to change because you're getting closer and closer to your authentic self.
Love that. So good. Yay. Well, this was so juicy, so jam-packed. I'm feeling so inspired. So where can listeners connect with you further, join the pathway, and learn from you more?
Yes. So a really beautiful entry point is the Expanded Podcast, our podcast, a beautiful episode to start out with. And that is called Manifestation 101. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, all the good places. Secondly, if you just want to get a taste of this work, you're like, oh, my interest is piqued. I just want to have an experience. On our site, tobemagnetic.com, try the free clarity exercise. You'll find that in the little hamburger on the side. And just try, see, like, what comes up for me? Do I connect with this? If it does at that point, I always encourage people to click on our homepage. There's something called the motivation. It's our testimony library. It's thousands of testimonies based on whatever you're calling in, money, love, whatever. Guess what you're doing if you pick on exactly what you're manifesting? You're beginning to expand. You're literally reading their process and going, oh my gosh, they manifested this apartment there, like what I'm calling in, and you know, Greenpoint and Brooklyn, and for this price, I can too. So that's already beginning the work. And if at that point you're like, cool, I'm ready to really like dive in, connect with my manifestation in 2021, what we have is what you mentioned and I mentioned, it's called The Pathway. And it's our all access member workshop that basically has every single workshop we've ever created, which is 11. We also have a monthly class that's called Supported. So it's where you guys go ahead and submit your questions. And then we answer the collective questions, like the ones that are the most recurring every month. And then it also has access to our community group, which has over 10,000 other members in there that you can be like, this test came up. Oh my God, this is what happened. What do I do? And we also have, which is really exciting that we launched this year and so supportive for people when they're first starting out, especially, we have coaches. We have 4 TBM coaches. And that means if you get stuck, if you can't find the right practice for you, whatever, if you can't find that right block and you're having trouble, you can work with either of the 4 coaches. Or what we also just launched, because we're always trying to be like, how do we just get people manifesting more and more, this QA service. So for $25, you're doing this work. You literally can go ahead and do this. You fill out this whole form, and then a coach will answer your question and they'll send you back basically in a voice note. So it's actually really clear what homework you should be doing within the pathway, the energetics of the question, and what the root is of what's going on. So there's no question for support in this. We've thought of everything. And that's how I would navigate if I was brand new.
I love it so much. Well, thank you for all of your passion, all of the systems that you've come up with. It's so inspiring to see how you've really like taken this thing and systematized it, and for making it really accessible for so many people. We're so grateful to have you here.
Thank you so much. And also, if you haven't listened to Sahara on the Expanded Podcast, you have to go listen to your episode. It was great.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.